Open your Bibles, your iPhone, your iPad, your Android Galaxy, notebook, paper Bible, to the book of Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 3 through 7. Say amen when you get it. All right, beginning at verse number 3, Philippians chapter 1. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always and in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. It is verse 6 that I want to focus my attention on today, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Tell your neighbor, it's a good work. Say, tell them on the other side, a good work, a good work. Y'all got to say it with a little more passion than that. Y'all a little, like, a good work. Yeah. All right, sit down. I know y'all tired. I want you to look around this building and tell me what you see. Just look around and tell me what you see. People. All right. Anybody else? Jacked up people. Somebody said jacked up people. I want you to look beyond the people and see that you're sitting in a beautiful facility. $62 million, 4,000 seats, 44 classrooms, 2,000 parking spaces. But it didn't start off being pretty. Matter of fact, it started off with putting a shovel in the ground and breaking some dirt. And it took longer than we planned for it to be built and cost more than we thought it was going to cost. But here we are sitting in it today, March the 15th, 8 years later, 7.5 years later. We're in this building. Thousands of people have been saved. Thousands. People have been delivered from addictions, drugs, alcohol, sex. Marriages have been put back together. Matter of fact, some single people got married. Come on, since we've been here. I saw some ladies looking up to here and say, is that right? Let me see if I can. A lot has happened, but it did not start in this beautiful facility. It was a journey. It was a walk. It was a path. It was an experience of us going through and having a lot of things to go through. And throughout the course of the journey, we have many bumps in the road. And that's the overall picture of what I want to talk to you about today, because too many people make decisions and choices on the basis of what the picture looks like today without understanding that what you see today is not the finished picture. People walk away from their marriages and don't want to have anything to do with their spouses anymore. The person that just a few years earlier, they said, till death do us part. Better for worse, richer for poor, in sickness and in health till death do us part. We make those declarations, but hit a little bump in the road, we walk away. We start jobs, create businesses, and when we get a little bump in the road, we walk away. But there's something I need to challenge you with today, and I want to share with you, because Paul the Apostle writes to the church in Philippi. It is a church that he started. He founded this church. And he's writing back to them because they are supporting and helping him at a very difficult season of his life and his ministry. As a matter of fact, Paul is in jail. He's in prison, writing back to the church that he started and founded, and he's giving them encouraging words, thanking them for their support. But while he's talking to them, he drops this major bomb on them that just blesses my heart, is verse number 6. He drops verse 6 on them, and I wanted to talk to you all about verse 6 for just a few moments, because it is such a powerful and profound, insightful thing. Matter of fact, I like that he says to them in verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, and I'm praying for y'all, and I pray with joy, verse 4. I'm grateful for your fellowship in the gospel with me. You've been faithful from this day even until now. But then he enters into verse 6, and he starts off by saying this. He says, we have to be confident. Somebody say, being confident. This is the thing that messes most folk up. And here's the thing that most people need. You got to be able to face whatever you face in life with confidence. You got to know some stuff. If our job, our career, our ministry is about trying to help people enter into the dimensions of life with a level of confidence. See, if you don't have confidence, the devil will talk to you and he'll whisper things in your ear and he'll have you believing that it ain't going to work out. It's going to all go wrong. It's going to be horrible. It's going to be bad. You're going to die. It's going to end bad. This is going to happen. That going to happen. But when you are a child of God, that's how you behave before you met Jesus. But when you meet Jesus and you have a relationship with him, you have to go into whatever you face in life with a level of confidence. Somebody holler out, say, be confident. Tell your neighbor, you ain't got enough confidence. Tell him you need some more confidence. Can y'all tell him? Tell him. Some of us make life-altering decisions right where when we're in the midst of drama. Right when things are not looking good. We make life-altering decisions. And my assignment today is to speak to you and not make a choice or a decision about life based on something bad that happened. It didn't go your way. It didn't go in the direction you wanted to go in. It didn't turn out the way you wanted to turn out. Don't make life-altering decisions when you're in the midst of that. Instead, stick a pen in Philippians 1:6 and say, I gotta face my future being confident. I got to be persuaded. I have to have a level of assurance, he says. Amen. Being confident. Be confident. Tell your neighbor one more time, you got to be confident. Be confident. What do you got to be confident about? I'm thinking about building this building. All the money, all the time. And here's one thing I had to be confident of. Here it is right here, verse number 6. Being confident of this thing, this very thing, that he who has begun. Stick a pen right here. Write this down. Christ started it. Come on, tell your neighbor, Christ started it. Let me try that again. I didn't get everybody to say that. Christ started it. Now that's important, because you got to know that whatever you face in life, whatever you go through in life, as a child of God, as a committed disciple of Jesus Christ, whatever you face in life, whatever it enters into your life, whatever comes into the domain of your front door, it could only get there because Christ, that God himself signed off on it and said it was okay for it to come. He had to do it. You got to know that. You got to know that if it happened, if he allowed it to come, he signed off on it. And that makes me know. And everybody, you got to know this, y'all. This is a part of my job, is to try to get you to a place of confidence, to know that whatever you face in life, no matter how horrific it might be, if God may not be the author of it, he's not the author of everything, but if it came into your life, he approved it to get there. And if he approved it to get there, he knows he knows if he allowed it to come in there. Hold up. Let me put it to you this way. God never allows anything to come into your life that he does not already know what the end of the story is going to be. Oh, I wish I had some people to say amen with that. And so you got to be confident. I get distraught about people who've been in church all their life, and some little drama come and they go ballistic. They lose their mind. They go crazy. They cry and they out of control. They need to go depressed. They need medication. What's wrong with you? You're a child of God. Your confidence has to be in the God who woke you up this morning and kept you every day of your life, who put food on your table and clothes on your back. You got to have a level of confidence that he started this thing. If he let it happen, if he permitted it in my life, there's a reason why he allowed it to come. And during the course of our journey of building this building, we faced a lot of challenges. We had, I mean, a bunch of challenges from day one. Because the first day when we broke ground, we're in a beautiful building today. You can celebrate. But y'all don't, how many of y'all have joined this church since we've been in this building? Let me see what your hands look like. Stand up. Okay, so y'all don't know what we had to go through to have a seat for y'all to get here. When we had our first ground, we had a groundbreaking. We had that first day of groundbreaking. We came out, we put up a tent, we had things for the kids to play and toys and activities for the kids and food and music and comedians. We had all this stuff planned. But when the day of groundbreaking came, there was a storm. Matter of fact, we woke up that morning, it was so stormy that some of my pastor friends called me and said, "Doc, you're going to cancel the groundbreaking?" But let me tell you what God did. Some of y'all don't know this. On the day of our groundbreaking, it rained all around Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Every place but 600 Watkins Park Drive. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying to you today. How many of y'all remember? I don't know how many were here, but I remember that. And when the last group sang their song, and we hit the power button and turned it off, shoof, the rain came. But God held back the rain all day long until we got through doing what we needed to do. He started this thing. Somebody high-five your neighbor and say, "He started it." We purchased 50 acres of land. 50 acres. Somebody say 50 acres. The 50 acres cost us $975,000. That's a bargain. $975,000. 50 acres. Shortly thereafter, the architect said, "Pastor, you're going to need a little bit more land. We can't do everything on this land, 50 acres that you want to do. I suggest you try to get some more land." So we went there was 35 acres next door with a house on it. So we went to the house where the people was living in the house, knocked on the door. When they finally answered the door, they weren't interested. What we did not know is that they were renters. So when we found out that they were renters, we found the owners. And we made an offer to the owner. I called the owner and I said, "We're interested in the 35 acres of property. We're right next to building a church." He said, "If you want it, it's going to cost you $1.2 million. I offered him $600,000. He said, "1.2. So I decided to negotiate and put my negotiating skills together. I offered him $650. He said, "1.2. So I decided to go and meet with the man. I went and met with the man. We met with him. And when I walked in the door, I was going to go in and put my charm and my negotiating skills and all of that on him. When I walked in the door, before he said hello, before I could introduce myself, before he introduced himself, I walked in the door. The first words out of his mouth was, "If you want the property, it's going to cost you $1.2 million. So I went and introduced myself. I'm Pastor John Jenkins, pastor of First Baptist Church, Glen Arden. Here's what we're trying to do, going here, doing this. We're touching lives, making a difference with people. And we began to talk, and I threw my charm and my wisdom and my suave on. And when I walked out of there, I paid $1.2 million. You don't want me on your negotiating team. But I'm celebrating it because God had already given us the $1.2 million to pay for it in cash. So we got the 35 acres. And then next to that was another 76 acres of land. And that 76 acres of land, when it became available, we tried to buy that. And we were bidding against a developer for that land. When the price got up to about $10 million. I decided to go and meet with the developer that we were bidding against and see if we could work out a deal. And in fact, we worked out a deal. And the deal was that we would buy the property, First Baptist, and we got it at a much lower price than $10 million, thank God. We stopped bidding against each other. We got it for a much lower price. And we decided we would own it till the developers were ready, and they would make payments to us periodically when it was time for us to hold on to the property for them. And then there came a time when it was time for them to buy the property, and they still weren't ready. And so they would give us chunks of money to hold on to the property for them. And we had this deal worked out. So it turned out that the economy turned to such a point that they were never ever able to. So we own the whole 76 acres now. Come on. Somebody say, I'm trying to show you that there's stuff God is doing and working on, because it may not all, you won't get the whole picture right at the outset. You won't see everything that God is trying to do. Y'all not listening to me. God's working. He started it. So we're waiting on the permit, waiting on the permit, waiting on the permit, waiting on the permit, waiting on the permit. And it just so happened that the permit was sitting in a pile of permits because the county executive was on his way out. His term had ended, and the new county executive was coming in. And so the chief of staff of that office said, we're going to take this pile of permits and leave it for the next county executive. It would have delayed our project by months upon months. But when she picked it up to move it to a stack and put it away, when she moved it, one of the permits fell on the floor. She picked it up. She said, oh, this is the permit for First Baptist Church of Glenard. Wait, that's my church. We'll go ahead and take care of this. Somebody ought to give God a praise right there. I'm trying to tell you that we serve a God who's, when he starts it, he has started a good work. Look at your neighbor and say, he started it. There was, I got to hurry up here. I'm trying to think what to tell you, what not to tell you. When we started the construction, we had some crane operators here, cranes to put the joists and the beams and all of that up. And right in the middle of our construction project, the crane operators of the Washington, D.C. area decided to go on strike. And they went on strike. They were making a point because all the crane operators were in a union together. And they were working on the Woodrow Wilson Bridge. That nice bridge y'all be driving on? The next time you drive across that bridge, I want you to give God praise. Let me tell you why. Because the crane operators went on strike. We called for a church meeting, prayer meeting. We prayed about the crane operator's situation. The next day, the crane operator's strike was over. Come on, talk to me for a second. I wish I had some people that could see how God had worked that thing out. I remember we were pouring concrete. We wanted to pour concrete, but we kept being held off on pouring concrete because we needed 14 dry days. We needed 14 days of no rain, and we needed 14 days of 50-degree weather and at least 50-degree weather, and we weren't able to get it. It seemed like forever. We called a church meeting. We prayed about it, and then we had 14 straight days of no rain and 50-degree-plus weather. I'm trying to tell you, we serve a God who has started this thing. And the same thing is happening in many of your lives. God is starting some stuff, and some of you are getting discouraged, and you don't see that beyond what you see with your eyes, God is working things for your good. One of our members texted me this week and said, Pastor, I've been trying to get a job with this radio station for years. Could never get the time of the day. But God... Ooh, I love the Lord. God worked it out where she ended up at a restaurant where the general manager of sales was also at that same restaurant, and she was having a meal with somebody who knew the general station's manager, and they hooked up and they offered her a job on Friday. Come on, somebody say. Hold up. I see right now I ain't got that kind of crowd that's worthy of clapping and celebrating, but I'll tell y'all anyway. Then we had a couple in our church that have a school. They have a school, and they sent me an email this week. They said, Pastor, I tried to buy this property, and I came to you last October, and I wanted the property. I asked you to pray for it, and surely enough, Pastor, the property got sold to somebody else, and so we didn't get the property. She was discouraged and disheartened. But here this week, she sent me an email, and the email said, the people who purchased the property have called us and want to know, can they build a school for us on the property? Now, in case y'all don't know what that means she will get the school on the property without having to buy the property. When to shout. That's a shouting moment right there. And on top of that, the school and the location where she has the school at now, the owners of the property said, we will build you a school on our property too. Hold up, hold up. She got two and didn't have to do nothing. She got two. I feel a shout coming on me right now when I think of the goodness of Jesus and what he has done. It's worthy of a praise and worthy of a shout. He's doing that for some of you. You despondent because something didn't go your way. If you didn't get what you wanted, it just means something better is coming down the pipe. Hey, hey! Being confident of this very thing, that he who started, he who begun a good work in you. Sit down, got a long way to go. I got a whole 5 minutes to go. What was my point, my first point? Christ started it. Here's point two. Christ started it, and Christ is going to do a good work.
Yes.
He's doing it. Christ is doing a good work in you.
Yes. Amen.
Somebody say, in you.
Amen.
So, I need you to get this in your mind, in your heart, because I've been trying to tell y'all this for a couple of weeks now, is what God is trying to do is in you. When we were building this building right here, it's all pretty now, But here's the deal. After we got the walls all up and the doors in, there was still some work that needed to be done on the inside. It looked good on the outside, but it was incomplete. I came in here one day, and there was scaffolding everywhere. It was massive, massive scaffolding everywhere. Scaffolding, go all the way up to the ceiling. Help you just climb all the way up here. You couldn't even hardly tell. It was scaffolding, scaffolding, scaffolding. Everywhere. And even though if you were on the outside, you would not be able to tell by standing on the outside that stuff was not finished on the inside. Now, look at your neighbor. You can't tell there's some scaffolding on the inside. You can't tell they ain't got it all together. You can't tell they got attitude and nasty thoughts and wicked desires. You can't tell about it. Well, they got it all juiced up, their hair done, and their makeup is going on. They looking good on the outside, but they jacked up on the inside. But here's what I'm grateful for. As jacked up as I am, he's working on me. You might hear some, Pastor Jenkins did so-and-so. Come here, let me tell you the full deal what I did. You ain't heard the first of it. I'm a jacked up joker. I'm the first to tell y'all I'm jacked up. But he has begun. Y'all didn't hear what I said. He's working on me, fixing me, changing me, developing me. All of the drama you're going through in life is God's desire to shape you and mold you and make you and clean you up. Stop fighting it. Stop crying about it. Stop complaining. Let God do his work in you. All those disappointments, all those challenges, all of those trials, all of those situations that you don't like is God trying to shape your character. I said that, I think, last week, and somebody emailed me or texted me or tweeted me or something and said, don't God want me happy? No! Ain't about your happiness. That's what got you in trouble, chasing happiness. That's what jacks you up, thinking it's about your happiness. God is not after happiness. He's after your character development. And look at here, I know I said it last week, please forgive me. The reason I keep coming back to it is because the Holy Ghost said they ain't get it yet. I got to come back and give it to you again. Here's what you got to understand is Galatians 5:22 talks about God's fact that he wants you to have the fruit of the Spirit developed inside of you. I told our leaders yesterday, I had a meeting with our elders. I said, I don't want to pick people to be leaders in this church just because they've been faithful, just because they show up at church. We want people who have the Spirit of God, who are filled with the Holy Spirit. We want people who have love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness. Find that you come to church. The devil come to church every week too. Feeling something demonic over here right now, as a matter of fact. When you have what God wants, he gives you love. Joy. That's what the Spirit of God's trying to work inside of you. Love, joy, peace. Peace, the ability to have peace in the midst of drama. Long suffering, the ability to hang tough, to take a licking and keep on ticking. Some of y'all so whimsy and so weak, some old trial come, you break down, cry. Ah! I want to say, shut up, go sit down. I feel the cussing spirit coming on me. Somebody pray for me. Please grab my hand. Pray for me. I told you I'm jacked up. I don't have it all together. He's still working on me and he's working on you. He has begun a good work and it's a good work. Those scaffoldings was all up over here, but now that the work is done, look how beautiful it is to be here. And when God gets done with you, when he finishes shaping and molding and building you, when he finishes getting out of you what's up inside of you, when he finishes changing you, you will be a great work. And that's the final point. He will finish it. He will complete it. It's a done deal. He will complete it. Somebody say he will complete it. He's going to bring it to fruition. He didn't start you. Listen, God didn't start you along this journey to stop mid-route. It's crazy to quit now after all you done gone through and everything God has. It's crazy to quit now. Don't quit now. Keep going. Keep hanging in the journey and stop focusing on what's right now and the pain and the sorrow of right now. Back up and say, God is doing a work in me and I'm just getting started. Tell your neighbor, I'm just getting started. Tell your neighbor, I'm not all that God wants me to be. He ain't through working on me yet. He's still fixing me. Amen. I might not dot every I, I won't cross every T, but check me out a year from now. Check me out 2 years from now. And when he gets through with me, I will come forth like pure gold. Come on and give the Lord a shout. Stand on your feet and help me give him some praise. That's what serving Jesus does for you. He'll bring it to fruition. He'll bring it to completion. Father, in Jesus' name, I know some people here today need you. They're without you. They're lost. There's some people here today, God, who don't have a relationship. Some who've backslid and drifted away. Some who need a church. Some who need assurance. And I simply pray today, God, that you would speak to those hearts. Draw sinners. Draw people who need a relationship with you, Lord, through Jesus Christ. Draw the backslider who started with you but drifted away. Draw the person who's unsure and need assurance. Father, somebody here today needs a church home. They don't have a church where they're being fed and nurtured and challenged and encouraged. And if you've called them to be here, let them come right now. Don't put it off another day. Give them, Heavenly Father, the courage to step forth and come now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a shout.